exotic galaxy far, far away. That famous theme from Star Wars by John Williams.
There's not much need to introduce that piece, the main title from the movie Star Wars, by John Williams, perhaps the best known of living composers, and the person who has been nominated for more Academy Awards than any other living person. I have had the honor of being John Williams' successor as conductor of the Boston Pops, so I've gotten to know him over these last 17 years, and he's an amazingly modest man, given his accomplishments. But what really amazes me about John is the chameleon-like way in which he adapts and inhabits the soul of the movies he's writing for. It's hard to imagine the range of his 80-some films, from adventure movies like Raiders of the Lost Ark and Harry Potter, to incredibly evocative atmosphere pieces like Memoirs of a Geisha, to the intense and beautiful score to Schindler's List. And to do the main title from that amazing movie, originally written for Itzhak Perlman, please welcome back Chloe Hanslip.
The main theme to Schindler's List, performed by Chloe Hanslip for the BBC Concert Orchestra conducted by Keith Lockhart. One of John Williams' most beautiful themes, I think. Keith Lockhart bringing the whole orchestra to their feet, with particular thanks to the Corps Anglais. He duetted so wonderfully with Chloe there. But now we're entering a whole new sound world. Welcome to Harry Potter.
Thank you.
Hedwig's theme from Harry Potter by John Williams, bringing to an end the sequence of John Williams tunes at tonight's special film music prom. Keith Lockhart bringing the Music Concert Orchestra to their feet to take the applause from the crowd. Special mention should go to Celeste player Jim Osborne, who opened that piece so beautifully. John Williams, what a hero to fans of film music. Of course, he's written for so many works for film, and as we heard, not just a composer, but a great conductor too, the predecessor to Keith Lockhart at the Boston Pops. And those of you wondering what he's working on now, well, I can reassure you there is another Steven Spielberg collaboration in the pipeline. In fact, The Adventures of Tintin, Secret of the Unicorn is due out in the autumn, so you can go and listen to some more John Williams then. Time for a world premiere now, though, by Johnny Greenwood, who, as well as being the lead guitarist of Radiohead and credited with writing most of the band's material, is also the BBC Concert Orchestra's composer in residence. His work with the orchestra has spawned two film scores. A work called Popcorn Superhet Receiver became the film score to the Daniel Day-Lewis film, There Will Be Blood, and won the Evening Standard Best Film Score Award. The orchestra then asked him to write a piece called Doghouse, which was subsequently used in the Japanese film Norwegian Wood, which was released last year. Now, Robert Ziegler then went off and rearranged it as an orchestral suite, and it is that we're going to hear for the first time tonight. Johnny Greenwood's in the audience. I had a quick chat with him earlier. He says he can't wait to hear the piece come alive. He says there's nothing quite like hearing an orchestra start to play in a quiet room. Better than any recording, he said. When talking about this piece, he said he's fascinated by the process of hearing the music come off the paper. He's a string player. It's an interesting process, writing for the brass section, he said. But here comes Keith Lockhart once again to conduct Johnny Greenwood's Norwegian Wood Suite, the world premiere, arranged by Robert Ziegler.
Thank you.
Johnny Greenwood's Norwegian Wood. The soloist there, leader of the orchestra, Cynthia Fleming, principal viola, Timothy Welsh, principal cello, Benjamin Hughes, conductor, Keith Lockhart. Johnny Greenwood's next film score will be in cinemas next month. He's written the music for the wildly anticipated There's Something About Kevin, starring Tilda Swinton. It's a bleak story, and what with that and There Will Be Blood, he did say to me earlier, romantic comedies just don't seem to be coming my way. Next, we're going to hear something from one of Britain's most prolific, diverse and well-loved composers, Richard Rodney Bennett. 75 this year and able to turn his hand to almost any genre of music, it comes as no surprise to see his name on the credits for a huge variety of films. Now, Murder on the Orient Express in 1974 was the first in an apparently inexhaustible run of all-star Agatha Christie murder mysteries, which would be, well, certainly in my memory, a staple of Christmas TV for decades. After that, we're going to hear from another giant of film music, John Barry, the man who brought us so many James Bond themes and who sadly died earlier this year. We'll hear his wonderful love theme from Out of Africa, guaranteed to make the hardest of hearts melt. And then for a rousing finish, we will be on Her Majesty's Secret Service. But first, the Agatha Christie, Murder on the Orient Express. You know, despite the combined firepower of Ingrid Bergman and Anthony Perkins, Lauren Bacall, and Albert Finney's outrageous Belgian accent playing Hercule Poirot, most people agree the real stars were The Steam Train and Richard Rodney Bennett's music. He won an Oscar nomination for the score, and we're going to hear the overture, waltz, and finale now. sight of thousands of promos swaying gently to the overture, waltz and finale from Murder on the Orient Express by Richard Rodney Bennett, enjoying themselves almost as much as the BBC Concert Orchestra and their conductor, Keith Lockhart. Pianist Jim Osborne and oboist Lindy Harris being singled out by Keith Lockhart for special mention. Now, the first of our pieces from John Barry. The love theme from Out of Africa, the film starring Meryl Streep and Robert Redford by John Barry. A very different mood coming up, though, because we're going to hear a medley of Bond themes by John Barry with additional material by David.
Thank you.
They love that here in the Royal Albert Hall, a medley of Bond themes, just some of the famous tunes from the 11 Bond films that John Barry scored. Shouts and whistles here for the BBC Concert Orchestra and Keith Lockhart, and a special round of applause for guitarist as well, Ian Laws. That famous solo in the Bond theme at the end there. There was music as well from current Bond composer David Arnold making an appearance too. I hope you spotted all the films. I certainly got On Her Majesty's Secret Service, Moonraker, I think I got Quantum of Solace, and I think we all got Goldfinger. John Barry, much missed composer of so many wonderful scores, of course not just James Bond, but Zulu and the Ipcress File, Dances with Wolves, Born Free, and the wonderful Out of Africa love theme that we heard a little earlier. Keith Lockhart coming back onto the stage now to take more applause. The BBC Concert Orchestra play this kind of music so well, don't they? Such a fun evening we've all had here. And I think we might just get something of an encore. I've got that feeling. Keith Lockhart just holding up his finger saying, shall we have one more? And the Ugly, the main theme there by Ennio Morricone, with added special effects from the percussion section. And if you like that, stick around, because you must tune in at 10:15 for the Spaghetti Western Orchestra. Lots more by Ennio Morricone, but as you've never heard it before. Tomorrow, do join BBC Radio 3 for the first ever Comedy Prom, starring Tim Minchin and Sue Perkins, Kid and the Widow, Susan Bullock, the great soprano, many more stars appearing there. Again, something of a first. That's live here on Radio 3. It'll be on BBC 2 in a couple of weeks' time. With the concert orchestra once again. They've got a busy weekend. Keith Lockhart giving his all as he comes back on stage. You know, the joy of watching this orchestra is also seeing Keith Lockhart dancing on the podium as he's conducting. But as the cheers continue to ring around the Royal Albert Hall tonight, it is now time for me to hand you back to Broadcasting House and John Shea.
Thank you, Katie Derham. And as ever, you can hear this concert again online for the next 7 days. And as Katie mentioned, it is fun to watch these proms, and tonight's concert has been televised by our colleagues over on BBC Four, so you may like to use the BBC iPlayer to help you relive tonight's fun by watching the concert as well as listening to it. If you start at the Radio 3 homepage, you'll find your way to the iPlayer and all should become clear from there. Well, as Katie told us, we're back at the Royal Albert Hall for the second part of tonight's double bill of film music in about an hour from now. There's quite a big scene change called for between tonight's two concerts, and what's more, it all has to be done without resorting to CGI. So we hope to be ready to ride into town with the Spaghetti Western Orchestra at about 10:15, or pretty soon after that. But before that, there's a chance to hear the winning entries in this year's Proms Inspire Young Composers Competition. They'll be introduced by Andrew McGregor in a little over 10 minutes from now at 9:30. And speaking of competitions, you may know that this year we've been holding our first ever Proms Poetry Competition, offering you a chance to hear a poem written by you performed in front of an audience as part of Proms Plus, and then broadcast on Radio 3. All you have to do is send in a poem inspired by one piece of music in this year's Proms season. And we've extended the deadline now for the competition because some of you have been having technical problems with downloading the application form, and there's also been some conflicting information about age categories. So, if you'd like to enter the Proms Poetry Competition, all you have to do is go to the BBC Proms website, follow the links to Ian McMillan's Proms Poetry page, and there you'll find that applications are welcome until the extended closing date of this coming Monday, that's the 15th of August. You'll also find details there of how to apply, including the fact that there are three age categories, 7 to 11, 12 to 18 and over 18. And of course, the competition's terms and conditions are there as well, all at bbc.co.uk/proms.
Four Saturday afternoon concerts from the BBC Proms. On BBC Radio 3, the Proms Saturday matinee concerts bring together the music of Richard Rodney Bennett, Harrison Birtwistle, Hildegard of Bingen and Sofia Gubaidulina in the spectacular acoustic of London's Cadogan Hall. Hear every note here on BBC Radio 3 and join me, Christopher Cook, for the first of the four tomorrow afternoon from 3 o'clock on BBC Radio 3.
And Christopher mentioning Richard Rodney Bennett's name reminds me to tell you that if you missed last Monday evening's broadcast of Richard Rodney Bennett in conversation with Norman Lebrecht, well, you've still got a couple of days to catch up with that, again, via the Radio 3 homepage. So, before Proms Inspire at 9:30, some piano music by a composer who's no stranger to writing for the cinema, Philip Glass. This, though, is the finale from his opera Satyagraha, arranged for piano. Bruce Brubaker is the pianist. Bruce Brubaker played the finale from Philip Glass's opera Satyagraha.
The question is not what you look at, but what you see.
The camera was no longer an instrument that recorded presences. It was a way of making the world disappear.
I know I change, have changed. But whose is this vapid face, suspended in empty paper, as though in a telescope?
From Auden Atwood and Oster to Leos Janacek and Charles Ives. On BBC Radio 3, music, poetry and prose inspired by centuries of photographs and photography, with Robert Powell and Geraldine James. The Photograph.
On the screen, we can only witness human behaviour. Choice is for camera crews.
An uninterrupted sequence of words and music. Sunday night at 10:15 on BBC Radio 3.
And before that, on Sunday evening, another chance to hear Zainab Badawi's report from Khartoum last year on the efforts of Sudan's creative artists to help bring peace to a country which had suffered violent internal conflict. Theatre, dance and song all played their part in preparing the country for a future which would be decided by the 2010 referendum, one which, as we now know, would lead to the creation of two separate countries. Theatre at the Frontline, that's our feature on Sunday evening at 9:30. This is BBC Radio 3. It's 9:30 now, and time for Proms Inspire, recorded last Saturday at the Royal College of Music in London. Here's Andrew McGregor.
What is Proms Inspire? Well, it's an environment in which budding young composers can share ideas, they can try new stuff, they can work with professional musicians, and of course meet other composers. And it comes to a climax in a day of workshops and a winner's concert here at the Royal College of Music. Prokofiev's Romeo and Juliet is in the second half of the prom this evening, given by the National Youth Orchestra of Great Britain, and the influence of that work has been felt throughout the workshops here in the college, as I'm sure we'll be hearing. Now, across the year, there have been composer labs in five cities around the UK, and hundreds of 12 to 18-year-olds have been sending in their compositions since January this year, and the judging panel's been choosing the best of them. We're going to hear the three winning pieces performed by musicians from the Aurora Orchestra, conducted by Nicholas Collin. And I'm hoping to catch up with all the winners and find out more about their pieces. And we'll also be dropping in on the composition, improvisation and electronic workshops that have been buzzing with activity all day.
All right, now we're going to have the chorus. All right, here we go at H. Yeah, but no, look at clusters, not chords. You know, nice, tight cluster. Okay, here we go.
Now, we've just moved across to the Britain Theatre at the Royal College of Music, where they have a contemporary composition workshop at the moment, which is being run by Stephen Montague in the theatre. Now, Stephen, I suppose one of the most interesting things for you is that you never quite know who's going to come along and what sort of material you're going to have to work with in terms of the players.
Indeed, that is. It's quite terrifying, you know, when you try to put together something that will fit with, if you have 20 flutes and one oboe, or no flutes and no oboes, no clarinets. So it's an open score kind of skeletal piece in which a large part of it is their input into the compositional issues that are facing them in this piece.
So there's a lot of freedom for the players. You can see from the score, there's lots of blanks and X's and wiggly lines, so there's lots of freedom for improvisation.
Sure, and it's to try to get something that has an interesting shape, that has some forward drive, but doesn't enslave them in notes that they may or may not be able to play. So we have sort of grade 2 players, a couple of people that don't read music, and grade 8 players, and so it's a wide variety, which is always a challenge for every composer to write something that has the full spectrum of possibilities.
And you'll have got quite a few players that won't have done anything like this before. This, I think, most, do you feel the sort of newness of it as it sort of creeps up on them, exactly what they have to do?
Well, I did a little chart as to what an arrowhead means, play any high note or any low note. And yes, most of them have not encountered this. So, one of the questions this morning was, which any high note? I said, it doesn't matter. So, well, a B flat? I said, that's fine. How about if I played an A? Of course, you know. And this concept is so alien that any high note actually is any high note, folks.
And Stephen, I couldn't help noticing that there was a certain amount of Prokofiev in there. Obviously, Romeo and Juliet's a bit of a starting point for it.
The piece is based on the Prokofiev. So the opening passage that I have put into this score is from the Montagues and Capulets in the beginning of Suite 2. And I've taken that as a kind of a launch pad for having other gestures that are Prokofiev-like and some of the rhythms and so forth. So it's easily identified as something that is akin to the Romeo and Juliet that they will hear this evening at the prom.
My name is Buki Bayode and I play the flute. I just finished my grade 5 like a couple of months ago. I live in Southwest London in Stockwell.
Have you ever done anything like this before? Is this the first time for you?
Yeah, the first time. I've never done anything like this.
Tell me something about the piece you've been rehearsing.
It's called Where's Juliet? It's nice, but it's very peculiar because the conductor asks us to play like random notes at sometimes. And like usually in an orchestra, the instrumental people wouldn't really be using their voices, but we're saying stuff like shh, we're making noises as well.
So you're getting involved in the process of creating the piece, yeah, in a way you wouldn't normally in the orchestra.
Yeah, it's quite a free piece.
Yeah,
so we got to add stuff to it.
And what's been the most interesting thing about the whole experience?
Playing different things. I don't really like play stuff like this. And it's quite fun just experimenting with other people. Yeah, it's really nice. It's really good.
The first piece we're going to hear from the Proms Inspire Young Composers Concert won the junior competition. It's by George Rimmer from Manchester. George, how old are you?
I am 17 at the moment, but when I wrote the piece, I was 16.
Right, and the title, I think I know this.
Arkansas Chug-a-Bug 8.
It's Wacky Races, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Wacky Races.
So it's that classic kids cartoon, the Hanna-Barbera one.
Yeah, I've always loved it. So, it's been one of my favourite cartoons as I've been growing up. And I thought, well, it would be cool to write some music about the things that I like. And it is one of them, so.
And did it actually start with the cartoon itself? Was that the direct inspiration?
No, the first inspiration was more of like the textural things of the piece. I saw a collage by the artist Barry Reigate, RSVP, in the Saatchi Gallery. And I kind of linked together the cartoonist style, the collage he's got, with the cartoon that I like, and then tried to extrapolate this and make it a musical idea. So it's not supposed to be programmatically about the car, it just is based around the car.
But if you know Wacky Races and you've seen the Arkansas Chug-a-Bug 8, what should we listen out for? How have you actually sort of written that into the music?
Well, there's a big section in the middle where it breaks down. After the huge big crash, they've got all synchronized chords together, all playing at once, and it all just stops. And it's like the engine's trying to start again with this kind of it doesn't quite make it till it kicks into action and starts again. I've used like this idea of car horns as well later on, where you have the oboe playing yada, yada, and it just gets faster and faster as if a car in the distance is catching up on them. I noticed this after writing the piece. It wasn't actually intentional that it sounded like this, but it came out like that.
What's it been like having it performed by the Aurora Orchestra?
Oh, it's fantastic. I couldn't have asked for anything better. It was absolutely amazing. Wonderful experience.
Good day.
More than a good day. A lot more than a good day. It's fantastic. Best day of my life so far.
Thank you.
Arkansas Chuggabug 8 by George Rimmer, inspired by a collage of cartoon imagery, including the legendary Wacky Races. And George was the junior winner of the BBC Inspire Young Composers Competition. I've just been listening to an improvisation workshop, or the results of an improvisation workshop, and I'm joined by James. And James, what were you actually playing in this?
We were doing lots of improvisation, and we were using an excerpt of a score, and we were playing bits of that and with improvisations in between.
And how did it actually start? Because I'm always interested, when somebody says an improvisation workshop, I mean, everybody comes in, you've not met each other before, a lot of you. You're all playing different instruments at different levels. Yes. How do you all actually begin the workshop?
Well, first of all, he talks to you about what we're going to be doing, sort of improvisation and the looking at the different scores. Then he sets up a drum and bass riff, and then he adds on different instruments, doing different things. And then he cuts off certain instruments, puts some back until he comes up with a good combination. And then he can keep that and put it in at any time he wants.
So you're sort of working on blocks of sound that you can all drop in whenever you get the signal from Peter. Have you ever done anything like this before?
No, it's completely new to me. I'm usually playing stuff written down on the score, and it's completely new. It's nothing unlike anything ever.
Have you enjoyed it? Would you do it again?
Yes, definitely. It's great fun, yeah. Being able to create different sounds that you would never normally be allowed to play. Like using the stand for your instrument, hitting against it, and using it as a mute.
So Peter Weigold, you were in charge of everything. How do you actually run an improvisation workshop like this?
What I always say is you have to get, like in jazz, you have to get the bass and drums tight before you put saxophone solos on. So the most important thing is to do really simple things at the beginning, like getting rhythms together, getting people cross rhythms, heard as cross rhythms. So you've got to get the band clicking, or even just a high trilly avant-garde texture. But you've got to get all the ears in so they all know their part in a certain texture or sound. And then you've got a kind of virtuous situation where they've all heard it work and then it kind of grows on it. So you have to ground it to start with.
And you've got one or two sort of seasoned pros to get things started off.
Yeah, I've got my own ensemble, Noti Nigal, three of them. So they can do a great bass line or a great guitar riff, and that certainly helps.
So you've got your foundation, but then you've also got this bunch of children of various ages who coming in with all kinds of instruments, all kinds of experience, completely different kinds of enthusiasms.
Yeah.
Do you ever have any idea what's going to happen?
No. Well, only in the broadest terms, like I will start with ground and then follow what comes. But, you know, there was a viola player there who was great, who looked at me at one point, and that meant he wanted to do something. And in the middle of a very tonal bit, he did a scratchy noise, and it was brilliant. So then we all went scratchy. So I wasn't expecting a viola to make a scratchy noise in the middle of a very tonal bit. So my job really is to spot people who are ready to do something and then follow them or work with them when they do it.
It's time to meet our second winner. Now, this is 17-year-old Hannah Dilt. She's one of the two winners of the senior category. And Hannah, it sounds as though you're already a pretty experienced composer. You've had pieces performed in quite a number of circumstances. The Smith Quartet, you have something played in Berlin by a saxophone quartet. How long have you been doing this?
Literally only since the beginning of college. It was due to all the opportunities I've had with my college and my music department there, so I must thank them, obviously, that we've had the chance to write for all these fabulous like groups and things. It's just been amazing.
Now, I can't think offhand of another piece inspired by Spike Milligan. Tell us about your two nonsenses.
To begin with, it was just a little bit of an exercise, and we had an ensemble going at college called the Composers Ensemble. And I was like, oh, I could just write a piece for that, let's see what happens. And I thought, well, I'd been having a couple of composition lessons and we'd been looking at Walton's Facade, and I thought, why don't I write a piece like that, but a little bit more wacky, suited to Spike Milligan's poetry. And it's all a bit mental, which is reflected in both the words and in the music, I think, and it's just wonderful to hear it played like that.
Well, I know Ning Nang Nong, Where the Cows Go Bong, and that's a great sort of noise opportunity. But what's Bongaloo?
Bongaloo is even more nonsensical than Ning Nang Long. It's just this. It's like a father and son relationship, where this boy asks his dad, "What is a bongaloo, Daddy?" And the father replies, "A bongaloo, son," said I, "is a tall bag of cheese plus a Chinaman's knees and a leg of a nanny goat's eye." And you're just a bit like looking at those words. You're like, okay, he's completely off his rocker. What's he gonna say next? And I was just like, I just wanted to reflect it as much as possible in the music. And so, of course, I've got really comical bits, like in the trombone, glissandos all over the place. And then I've got other instruments doing things which aren't really suited to them. Like I've got oboes playing things that saxophone should be playing.
Said I, it's a tall bag of cheese plus a Chinaman's knees and the leg of a nanny goat's eye. Strange, I replied. When the sun's in the west, it appears in a vest, sailing out on the noonday tide. What shape is a bongaloo, Daddy? The shape, my son, I'll explain. It's tall around the nose, which continually grows in the general direction of Spain. Are you sure there's a bongaloo, Daddy? Am I sure, my son, said I? Why, I've seen it, not quite, on a dark, sunny night. Do you think that I'd tell you a lie? Jabba Joo. On the Ning Nang Nang, all the mice go clang, and you just can't catch them when they do. So it's Ning Nang Nong, cows go bong nong, nang ning, trees go ping nong, nang nong, mice go clang. What a noise it makes to me! It's the Ning Nang Ning Nang Nong!
Whoa! Two Nonsenses by Hannah Dilks, Spike Milligan's nonsense poetry, given a whole new context by one of the senior winners of the Proms Inspire competition. Well, backstage here at the Royal College of Music, I'm with Anna Meredith, not that ancient a composer herself, I have to say. Anna, you're one of the judges on the judging panel for this competition process. You've been working today with the National Youth Orchestra's Creative Hub. Now, you better explain to us exactly what it is, first of all. How does it work?
So the Creative Hub is our name for the composition, the creative aspect of the National Youth Orchestra, which runs alongside the main orchestral course. So myself and my colleague Larry Goves both have been going to courses in the winter and spring and summer where six young composers have been working and rehearsing and trying and experimenting alongside the main orchestra, and we've been looking at all sorts of different compositional things. So for the players, this has been, I suppose, our final performance of our show, which is the deleted scenes from Romeo and Juliet, where we've been our brief to the composers was to write a very short piece about an idea from the original Shakespeare that Prokofiev didn't do.
So what kind of deleted scenes were the composers coming up with? That sounds pretty interesting.
For example, one of our composers, Ben Weatherfield, has written these pieces about a very minor character, Benvolio, who is quite often taunted by Mercutio for getting into fights, which Ben found a bit weird because in the play he actually seems like a bit of a pacifist. So Ben had this idea that maybe in a past life, Benvolio had been a bit of a rude boy who'd like to stir up lots of trouble. So he's written five little miniatures, five quarrels, which just imagine these fights that Benvolio might have got into.
Back to the Proms Inspire competition winners concert. The other winner in the senior category is Jack Sheen. Now, Jack, I gather you're about to take the plunge and become a full-time composition student?
Yeah, full-time composition student at the Royal Northern College of Music. I'm going to be studying on the joint course, hopefully, if I get the grades.
And you've already been a composer for the National Youth Orchestra.
Yeah, it's been brilliant. It's been really, really inspiring to be able to work with the players. It's definitely been the most rewarding thing that I've.
And it's a pretty big orchestra to have at your disposal as well.
Yeah, there was one day where we had 10 minutes each for the with the full orchestra, which is 175 of them, so that was mind-blowing. Yeah.
Well, your winning piece is called Aviaries. So was the starting point the birds, or did avian ideas come into it later on?
No, it's the complete opposite, actually. It was titled after after it was finished. And I just thought the title suited the music quite well. There's lots of safe, self-contained, little, almost chambers of quite cacophonous movement, and I thought that suited the image of lots of birds taking off and creating a sort of a visual cacophony themselves.
So no point listening for birdsong?
Definitely no birdsong in that. It's much more sort of visual in a way.
And what was the actual starting point for the piece? There's a lot of sort of ethereal harmonics and things like that in it as well.
Yeah, 100%. Well, it was originally a one movement quartet which was going to be workshopped, so I had a lot of license to really experiment and kind of go wild, and that's definitely the route that I wanted to go down. Textually, so I just sort of took that to its logical conclusion. It's quite extreme, and I would say about 98% of that is harmonics, and that was something which was really, really encouraged. So I was really encouraged to do by the quartet workshop that they said, you know, it's really, really exciting when we get these sort of pieces, but we just want more and more and more, just take it to real extremes, and that's what I did. Thank you.
aviaries. The sound of birds taking flight in the string quartet by Jack Sheen, played by members of the Aurora Orchestra. And that's the other piece that won in the senior section of the Proms Inspire Composition Competition. Well, if I'm slightly out of breath, it's because we've just sprinted up to the very top of the Royal College of Music. We're under the eaves here, with the roof timbers above us, and surrounded by laptops, electronics, computers, mixing desks, and it's the 21cc workshop. Now, exactly what's been going on?
My name's Max. What looks like the very best music mixing technology money can buy, you know, everything you sort of need to get loads of musicians in one place at one time and make a good bit of electronic music. So we've got laptops, we've got pads to play musical samples. What we've been doing is we've been taking samples from various musical sources and using sort of a song from Romeo and Juliet as a baseline. We've been making what's called a Romeo and Juliet mashup, in which we just take lots of the samples from different sources and we play them and sequence them to make an overall really big song.
I'm Zach and I'm here with the 21cc as well.
Now, have you done this kind of thing before? Are you an old hand at using some of this kind of equipment and manipulating samples?
I just finished my A-level in music technology and I'm planning to do a degree in composition and
so
technology.
You're right at home here, but what have you must have been working with a lot of people who actually haven't experienced this kind of thing before. You've got a real mixture of people.
Yeah, it's quite nice to see people's fresh new ideas on stuff that I'm already comfortable with, to see their take on it and how they use it creatively.
Is it making you think differently about the music sometimes?
Yeah, definitely.
As well? What sort of instruction set did you have when you sat down? Because you've only got, 40 minutes to create something, haven't you?
No. Well, I was quite comfortable with software called Cubase, which is similar to the software I'm using today. So it's just sort of finding my feet, really.
And elements of live performance involved as well. So you're actually using some of the young musicians we've got here on their own instruments.
Yeah, we used these pads with the different buttons on, which trigger different sounds. So we were all sort of making our own sounds using that, per se. And we also had live instruments that were mic'd up as well.
And how would you describe the piece you ended up with?
It was an electronic sort of remix of Prokofiev's Romeo and Juliet. I think if he were alive today, pretty similar to what he would have imagined it to sound like.
Some of the sounds of one of the best equipped electronic toy shops I think I've ever seen. That's the BBC's 21st Century Classroom, 21cc, put through its paces by the Proms Inspire Day's young composers, who've spent the day exploring and experimenting in all kinds of new ways, as we've been hearing. Our very best wishes to all of them for the future. And as well as the competition winners we've already played you, the Inspire Days concert included the highly commended runners-up. If you keep your ears open, you may hear some of them around the prom broadcasts on Radio 3. And as a taster, we thought we'd end our Proms Inspire Day with a collage of our own.